v. Astru.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Thomas M. Henry, and I represent Gary Burke. This is a Social Security disability claim, and as this Court knows very well, in a Social Security disability claim, government is required to undertake a five-step analysis for determining disability. One, whether a person is currently working. Two, whether a person has severe impairments, meaning that they are serious enough to impose work-related functioning limitations. Three, does a claimant meet or equal a listing of impairment? And four, whether a claimant can return to any past relevant work. And five, whether or not there are any other jobs in the national or regional economy. There's really two issues that we brought to the court for consideration. The first is the administrative law judge in this case did not apply the court's decision in Stambaugh v. Sullivan. The reason that it's important in this case is because if you'll look, Mr. Burke's application predates the amendments to the medical revisions that the government speaks of and that Judge Dade used in his decision in this particular case. The other issue that we pointed out essentially is that either standard and the Stambaugh standard that this court held down was that the administrative law judge must make written findings in the four domains of functioning, that in the domain of daily activities, social interaction, concentration, persistence, and pace, and then deterioration or decompensation in a work-like setting. He must make findings as to the severity of the mental impairment in those particular areas and must append that to the decision. Our contention is that under either standard, whether you apply the Stambaugh standard, which we say is still good law because of the nature of this case and the effective onset dates, or the government's revision, the administrative law judge did not apply those particular standards, because if you go to look at the record and you look at page 39, the administrative law judge's decision, on the findings of fact, there is no finding of fact on a mental impairment other than at step two that the claimant has a severe impairment. The administrative law judge proceeds to say then that there's an instruction limiting the claimant to simple and repetitive work, but there's no evaluation of any of the domains of functioning in that decision. Similarly, if you look at transcript 1236 to his instructions to the vocational expert, similarly, there is no instruction with regard to any of those particular domains of functioning. And I think that's exactly the reason why this court in Stambaugh held that it was necessary to do that, because otherwise it gives you no bridge to understanding exactly what the administrative law judge's thinking process was with regard to how he made the determination as to the severity of the claimant's mental impairments. Certainly from our standpoint, it doesn't give us an opportunity to cross-examine the vocational expert with regard to the limitations imposed thereto if he does not give an adequate instruction on the nature of the limitation in each of those domains. For example, there were findings made by the administrative law judge, or at least discussion in the text of his decision about the claimant had limitations in the area of social functioning. How is that addressed in the findings of fact or in the instructions to the vocational expert? This court has routinely held that if the vocational hypothetical does not contain all of the claimant's essential limitations that impose work-related limitation, then it should be reversed and remanded. The second thing that's happened in this case, as we pointed out in the motions that we filed, is that the claimant filed a second application for disability, and he was approved 2 days later. And what we're asking this court to do is to remand this case based upon what Judge Mem did in the Martin against Astru case, pointing out that the closeness and similarity of time of the award on the second application and finding the claimant met two particular listings at step three would warrant a further evaluation of this claim, because it raises the context of evidence that may in fact support a finding of disability in this case. And so we would ask the court to also remand this case, similar to what was occurred by Judge Mem in the Martin against Astru case, because of the fact that the claimant was found disabled 2 days later. And that raises a specter of difficulty with regard to the nature and the findings in this particular case. I would ask the court to give serious consideration to what exactly the administrative law judge instructed the vocational expert and what he found in his findings of fact. Because I think that this case illustrates exactly why Stambaugh came about, is because you were attempting to force administrative law judges to clearly articulate what were the findings that they had made with regard to mental impairments. They didn't do it under either standard in this case, and we would ask you to reverse it and send it back.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Mr. Christoph.
May it please the Court, Ed Christoph on behalf of the Commissioner of Social Security. We would note from the outset that the appellant in this case has never challenged the substance of the ALJ's decision. He's making a purely technical argument, and his argument is entirely wrong. Stambaugh no longer is controlling in this case because there was a regulatory change. Stambaugh was entirely based on the regulations in effect at the time of the decision. This Court has expressly stated, recently in Rice, that this Court will apply the regulations in effect at the time the Commissioner's final decision is issued. In this case, the Commissioner's final decision was issued well after the regulatory change. Therefore, the amended regulation is the one that needs to be applied. Stambaugh does not apply. It's entirely clear, as we state in our brief, that since September 20th of 2000, ALJs were not required to attach any special document to their decisions. Instead, the ALJ's evaluation of a claimant's mental impairment must be contained within the body of the decision. And contrary to the appellant's argument, that's exactly what the ALJ did in this case. Within the body of the ALJ's decision, the ALJ specifically addressed the four factors required under the special technique set forth in the regulations at 20 CFR 416.920A. The ALJ addressed Mr. Burke's activities of daily living, his social functioning, his concentration, persistence, and pace, and whether there or not there were any episodes of decompensation of extended duration. The ALJ addressed exactly what the appellant is arguing he did not address. It's in the body of the ALJ's decision. The ALJ's RFC finding also shows that the ALJ considered Mr. Burke's mental functioning when determining what he could still do despite the limitations caused by his impairments. And the ALJ's residual functional capacity finding mirrors the opinion of a consultative examiner, in this case, Dr. House. Dr. House indicated that Mr. Burke could perform some simple and repetitive work tasks. That's what the ALJ found. The ALJ clearly addressed Mr. Burke's mental impairments. Regarding the second issue that has arisen only lately and after the parties submitted their main briefs in the case, the Martin case, which comes out of Central Illinois as well, involved a situation in which we had the district court presented with evidence that the agency had found the claimant disabled as of the day after the decision that was before the district court. Now, the agency would contend that that's not necessarily determinative of anything, but we don't need to touch on that today because in this case we have a gap of more than a year in time between the decision before this court and the time that Mr. Burke was subsequently found disabled on a subsequent application. That's a gap of more than a year that the appellant has done nothing to attempt to bridge. In fact, he's come forward with nothing other than the computer printout that shows that he was awarded disability benefits more than a year later. He hasn't shown that any of the evidence relates to both of the applications. We don't know if Mr. Burke was hit by a bus in the meantime. It's his burden to come forward and show that he's entitled to a remand under Sentence 6. He has to show the materiality of the subsequent award to the decision that's before this court. He hasn't made any effort to do so. For that reason, we would ask that the court would deny the implicit request for remand under Sentence 6 of 42 U.S.C. 405G, and that the court would affirm the commissioner's decision.
Thank you, Mr. Christoph. Mr. Henry?
One comment, Your Honor. With regard to the second application, the claimant was found disabled 2 days later. It was no more than 1 or 2 days later after the denial by the administrative law judge. The time period that counsel is referring to is the time period passing since that finding of disability and the current. The problem is that, as we pointed out in our motion, the government has withheld the information from us. It's difficult for us to be able to supply it when they wouldn't give us the information. The only thing they would give us was the printout that we've given you that shows that he was effective as of the 2 days later than the ALJ's original decision. So I think it's difficult to complain to us that we've been untimely in this regard, Your Honor, when the government itself refuses to give us the documents to be able to prove that to you. So I think that the standard in that case would be upon the government to come forward and to deny the fact. And I think that the government should have come forward to either admit or deny whether the claimant was approved as of those dates. And we've submitted the one document they gave to us that definitively shows he was approved and that the onset of that was 2 days later than the ALJ. And that's what we're talking about. And that's what Martin talked about, is that the closeness and nexus in time between those two dates means that effectively the case needs to be remanded, be reviewed. That's the only point I would make additional, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.